Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. For several programs now, as the regular listener will immediately understand, we've been exploring the various events that took place with Christ during his personal ministry on the earth. And we're coming to those closing days, the days of which Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John spent most of their writing, and that was his last week. And throughout these days, we see Christ continuing to perform miracles of healing, which proved his deity, and we hear his message coming from the Father that sent him. And his enemies, unable to cope with these signs and these miracles and his teaching, his enemies increase their plots against him. The Jews would at times take up stones to stone him, and he had asked them, "For what good works was he about to be stoned?" Well, this angered them all the more because it humiliated them, it exposed them before the multitudes. You see, Christ was providing the evidence even for us as we read about these things from eyewitnesses and inspired pens that we might believe and have life in his name. Now, there were times during this eventful period that Jesus would withdraw from Jerusalem to Bethany, and then sometimes into Perea beyond the Jordan River. It was during such times that we read of his prayer for Jerusalem. He said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not." Jesus was even threatened by Herod Antipas if he did not cease his activities. And when he healed on the Sabbath day, why, he only aroused the enemies all the more. It seems that they could never rejoice with those who benefited from the good works of our Lord. But he used their criticisms for additional opportunities to teach more of his parables, and the crowds followed him constantly. And, of course, this galled the religious leaders. Well, one of the more notable deeds performed during this last period was when he raised Lazarus from the dead. Now, he had been told that Lazarus was sick, but he did not rush to his side. And when he arrived, Lazarus had already died. He had been dead 4 days. He was met by Mary, his sister, and she cried that if only he had been there, possibly her brother would not have had to die. Well, she obviously believed that Jesus had the power to heal him, but it's no indication that she understood he would be raised from the dead. But in this setting, Jesus taught concerning the immortality of man and the eventual resurrection of all on the last day. Jesus had her to take him to the tomb of Lazarus. And when Jesus saw the grief of the people, especially those who were so near and dear to him, the Bible says Jesus wept, and he commanded that the stone be rolled away from the door of the tomb. Now, this suggestion, of course, met opposition, but nonetheless it was obeyed. Then Jesus called for Lazarus to come forth from the tomb, and he did. Now, this caused many to marvel and to believe, but it also angered those whom, in spite of every evidence, were determined to resist him. How frustrated were his enemies at this point! They did not know what to do concerning him, because it was too obvious that he actually did miracles that only deity could do. They reasoned that if they just left him alone, everyone would believe on him, and this they could not afford. They would lose their places of rank, their importance, the source of their wealth and their influence. So as the Passover approached, plans to eliminate Jesus forever were being concocted among those who now sought his life. Among the last teachings of which we have on record of Christ were lessons on marriage and divorce and remarriage. Also, we read of his meeting with little children and how he used them to illustrate the nature of those who would be citizens in his kingdom. There were more parables as this time slipped away. More prophecies were being fulfilled, more prophecies by Christ himself concerning his death and resurrection. And as we have already noted, we continue to read of that which marred things for Christ, and that was the strife and personal ambition by James and John to hold special places in his kingdom. This gave evidence that even they did not yet comprehend the spiritual nature of his kingdom. And there was another man, Bartimaeus, a blind man. He received his sight, and he glorified God. And this was probably the same occasion which some of the accounts give when Jesus healed a blind man along the road to Jericho. Jesus passed through Jericho, and he met a man called Zacchaeus, who was a small man, who climbed a tree so that he might see Jesus as he passed that way. And when Jesus saw him, he told him to come down, and he went to the home of Zacchaeus that day. Among other things that he said was that he received his kingdom when he went away. Well, this is precisely what Daniel had foretold back in Daniel 7:13-14. But he set his face steadfastly toward Jerusalem, and he headed for the crucial days that were ahead of him. Boldly he walked into the city, knowing what awaited him there, but willing to do what he came to do. And friend, that was for the benefit of all mankind, including me and including you. Another Passover was approaching. 6 days before that feast, Jesus came to the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus in Bethany, which was just a few miles from Jerusalem. Mary took ointment and anointed the feet of Jesus as an act of honor. Judas objected, saying that the ointment should have been sold and the money given to the poor. He suggested what she had done was a waste. But you see, Judas was the keeper of the funds, and he was a thief. Christ said she had done a good work because she had anointed him for burial. He also said that she had done what she had done would be preached wherever the gospel was preached. And friend, that's what we're preaching even now, this good deed that she performed. Meanwhile, the priests were taking counsel how they might destroy Jesus. They also sought to destroy Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. The presence of Lazarus stood as a living rebuke to their unbelief of Jesus. But now we embark upon the last hours before the cross. Now these things are recorded for us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. On the first day of the week, Jesus entered Jerusalem. And we might take note as we observe the events that follow, the swing of the pendulum of the attitudes of people toward Jesus as he persisted toward accomplishing the very purpose for which he came to this earth. Jesus came into Jerusalem, riding on the back of the colt of an ass, and this had been prophesied in Isaiah chapter 62. People placed branches and garments along the way as an expression of honor, denoting him as a conqueror, and to be a king and the Savior. As could be expected, this caused his enemies to be furious with him because the people were obviously admitting him, and the leaders were losing their grip and their control. And while the religious leaders were incited to anger, the multitudes were crying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the kingdom that cometh! Blessed is the King!" Now, what may seem a bit strange to come out of all of this was that Christ took the opportunity to once again forecast the coming destruction of the city of Jerusalem, and that because of the wickedness of the people. And he said this at what seemed to be the closest moment of his ministry to a general acceptance by the people. But he knew they would not accept him. He knew what was before him. And while the daylight hours of his final week were spent in Jerusalem, Jesus would travel in the evening back to the nearby village of Bethany. One morning, as he approached Jerusalem, he saw a fig tree that gave the appearance of bearing good fruit. But in spite of appearance, it produced no fruit, and Jesus pronounced a curse against the tree, condemning it to destruction. Now, the reason for this action is obvious. This tree was a symbol of hypocrisy, appearing to be what it really was not. And the sin of hypocrisy was one of the most obvious sins of those who were his enemies. And this was another condemnation of that sin. Well, in Jerusalem, once again, he cleansed the temple of those who desecrated it by turning his father's house into a den of thieves and a house of merchandise. Those who were the targets of this rebuke were misusing the temple, taking advantage of others with their dealings, and were generally using what otherwise would be a holy place for their own material gain. But when Jesus acted as he did toward them, and this is the second time he did something similar to this at the beginning of his ministry, they were aroused to increased animosity toward him. And during the days, Jesus was occupied with healing and with teaching. And on one particular day, certain Gentiles came seeking Jesus also. They first had approached some of his disciples with their request to see Jesus, like Philip and Andrew. And when Jesus met them, he used the event to teach and to tell how he would be raised up and he would draw all men unto him. Well, this caused the Pharisees to be the all more frustrated as to how to deal with Jesus, because multitudes hovered around him. But they were hesitant to openly and physically attack Jesus just yet, lest their evil backfire on them. About the most severe approach toward Jesus as yet was a challenge of his authority to be doing and saying what he was. He was asked by what authority he did his deeds, and Jesus turned the challenge against his challengers. It was a question that they could not answer and would not answer. He said, "As for the work of John the Baptist, was it from heaven or was it from men?" Now, either way that they answered, they would condemn themselves. If they said it was from heaven, he would say, "Why didn't you obey him then?" And if it was from men, why, this would arouse the animosity of the multitudes against them, because they looked upon John the Baptist as a prophet. Therefore, Jesus, knowing their sinister motives for asking such a question, he refused to answer their inquiry. Well, someone has said that God had but one son, and he was a preacher. Well, this is significant, that Jesus recognized his role as a preacher and teacher. And to the very last, and just as the death approached him, and crowding around him were his enemies, we see that Jesus continued his teaching. We're going to have to stop at this point. Our time is running out. We'll have another two or three lessons about the events of Jesus as we look at his lifetime here upon this earth. And dear friend, it is our hope, it is our prayer, it is our purpose and our intent in looking at these things concerning Christ that we will understand that he is the Savior of mankind, the Son of God. How wonderful it is that we have a Savior. Jesus Christ is that Savior. This is A Burning Fire. Until next time.